maybe I'll start off this podcast by saying, please subscribe. Give us a 5-star review if you don't mind, because that would be so helpful for us. You just don't realize until you're making podcasts how important that is, because it really helps you to be seen on this little network that we're on. And, you know, this is really just something we're doing for fun. So any help and support would be so fantastic. So thank you in advance.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's about just being able to be found when you search our podcast. Uh-huh. If not enough people review it, it's impossible to find us. So just do that, just so we can be found. That's all we want.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you. Anyways, to be honest, I'm going to let Cole take the reins on this because he's the one who watched the episodes last night. Mm. I probably could have got through this episode, the hometown dates, but it's teetering on me having a little bit of a mental breakdown. But I definitely remember everything, so let's go for it.
Oh, I'd hope so. So I just want to do a little precursor here. I like to be funny. I like to pull some jokes. But these episodes are starting to get a little bit more serious. So the jokes might be few and far between. It's going to be more asking Jasmine questions, getting a little deeper into it. And so if you guys are in for a little bit more of an introspective Cole. Mm.
And the reason that we want to start completing this season one of Friends off, is because we want to start reviewing The Bachelorette, which starts airing on Monday, June 7th. So we pretty much have to get these out of the way and done. And then we're going to get into some more current recaps.
What more can you ask for, truly?
What more can you ask for? I'm going to say one more quick thing before we start.
Oh boy.
I want just for everyone to know, this episode in particular, I'm a little sensitive about talking about, especially because there's going to be a lot of opinions that Cole has, and that's fine. He's viewing this as a viewer, as it's supposed to be seen. Like, he's watching the edits, and this is how it's meant to be experienced, and how it was probably experienced by you guys who've watched the show, if you've watched the show. So for me, I just want to say that these are people's families we're talking about, and so please take any of these opinions with a grain of salt and know that, you know, Cole is probably gonna have some fun with it, but just remember that these are human beings and people's families and mothers and all that stuff. So
So let's get into it. We'll do it, you know, kind of a chronological breakdown. My first note is that your little intro, because now it's hometowns, they start doing a little softer and a little bit kind of like there's some country music in the background because all these places are kind of like out in the sticks.
That's not even true.
I don't know. There was a town called Waterloo, so I'm going to assume that's a little
It's a major university town. It's where BlackBerry came from.
But the phone?
The company BlackBerry.
Oh, okay.
I bet you didn't even know it's Canadian.
Nope. It's one of those things that just goes out one ear, out another.
Wow, you sure know how to say that saying.
Okay, so the intro has you looking like a country singer that's about to sing a ballad. It's like these slow motion pans of you like going to a window and like grabbing the curtain and like looking out, and I'm like, she's about to sing. I just thought that was a funny little thing there at the beginning. The other hilarious thing that I noticed right at the beginning is you're packing up wherever because I think...
Oh my god, I know what you're going to say. The foot cream.
Okay, that's why I didn't know what it was. She is packing up, I believe, in her hotel in Vancouver, BC, I would imagine, and going to the first hometown. And you're packing up everything, and there's this shot, this still shot of your open suitcase, and clothes going in, and then just like this bottle of like cream.
Because our sponsor, the show sponsor, was like this like pedicure stuff, hence the pedicure and the manicure stuff at that spa in Quebec that was all using this product. I can't remember what it's called. It was like at-home pedicure stuff, and there was this foot cream, and I knew like the director Michael was like, oh, we have to get this shot, like, can you just do this? And we all laughed about it after because it was so dumb, but it was like just a like, who puts just one foot cream? Gotta bring that foot cream on my hometown dates.
I didn't know what it was. I just assumed it was hand cream, but the fact that it's foot cream makes it so much funnier. You're like, all right, I've got my underwear for a week, I've got socks, I've got a couple pairs of pants, got my foot cream, all right, we're ready to go. Like, it's just it's just an odd thing to pack
and just sitting
your suitcase,
sitting right on top of the clothes, perfectly centered.
Not a toiletry bag.
No,
in the suitcase, directly in. It's very needed. Okay, so we're gonna get to the Mikkel date. He arrives on a motorcycle. Very cool. Again, I just really want to back up how much I like Mikkel.
Yeah,
and
get in line with the rest of them.
Oh, he's just the sweetest, and he's super cool, and yeah, he's just a gem, but he shows up on a motorcycle, which you find incredibly sexy, which is dope. Like, who doesn't find that sexy? My question is, have you ever ridden a motorcycle before this?
Yeah, I had.
Oh, okay. It seemed like it was your first time. Like, you were jazzed about it, no pun intended.
I was probably just excited. I don't even remember. I remember putting on the helmet. I remember going for a ride around Newmarket, which is the town.
Newmarket, yeah. Which is a really adorable name for a Canadian town.
It's just like Newmarket. Right outside of Toronto. But anyway, it was, yeah, I remember being jazzed. Yeah, it was fun.
The next question is, so my understanding, I didn't really fully understand this before, but the hometown dates, these guys are setting up the dates themselves, which is apparent because they're a lot less... They'll take you to any random place, and then there's just a bottle of champagne. It's super funny. Like, you'll be like, oh, yeah, this is my favorite park. And then there's just a bottle of champagne. And it's like, oh, okay. So the producers are like, here, take this. You're going to need this bottle of champagne. And, like, they all take you to, like, one area.
Yeah.
There's not even a second location.
That's true.
And it's the other thing that's weird, and we're going to get into this as we get into the other dates, but... it's all in the middle of the day, and it looks so hot. I can't tell what time of year it is, but it's always sunny, and you're just getting blasted in the eyes. Like, your retinas must be fried.
They were. That whole time that I was doing that show, I felt like all I did was die. My eyes just died. I couldn't wear sunglasses.
So that's the thing. You got to wear sunglasses on the spray paint date with Mikkel and
that's
Montreal.
That's because I was crying.
But you can't.
Remember, my eyes were watering.
Oh.
They gave that to me because my eyes were watering
bad. Right. It was literally like someone on the production team had to give them
to
me. Right?
Yeah, yeah. But that was like because without the sunglasses was much worse because my makeup was going all over my face and I couldn't stop crying. Like, it was just windy or something. I can't remember, but...
But so anyway, these guys are they're crafting these dates, which is really cool. I wish... I don't know. It seems weird that they don't do that more often.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
It would be great if the producers... gave a general direction. They're like, oh, you're gonna do so and so, you're gonna go to this area, and then the guy just gets to kind of decide from there, because I think that's a really important factor in dating and in relationships and starting a relationship with someone, is to see how they plan things for you. But when everything is planned out almost to a T, other than conversation, it's a little cheap, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was cool having them plan all their stuff out, and Mikkel took me to a drive-in movie theater, which is where he said that he used to sneak off to in the night. Didn't he say he used to like steal his parents' cars?
We're gonna talk about this for a while. It's like one of the cutest things ever. Like, seeing a young, which his family calls him Mick, and I want to talk about that for conservatively 15 minutes. But yeah, the last question on the motorcycle is, what are the safety measures that production is making?
What do you mean?
While you're riding a motorcycle, Yeah, but what if he were to just crash? Like, what if
the
newsflash was area couple on reality TV show, both perish. Like, he's on the highway. I was just going, wow, man, I've had so many friends who drive. I don't know a single person who's driven a motorcycle for more than 8 years who hasn't had a crash.
What does the president ride with? What do you call it? When they're driving through town and they've got all the cars around them?
What are you talking? Oh, a motorcade?
Yeah, we kind of had our own little motorcade going through because we had like a van with literally the door swung open and a cameraman filming and stuff like that. So
yeah.
We were sort of surrounded. From what I can recall.
Oh, okay. So you had a little cushion.
Yeah, I felt like we had... I don't know. I don't think we were going insanely fast. I can't really remember.
So you guys go to a drive-in.
Drive-in movie theater. He was just taking me somewhere that meant something significant to him, and he explained that he would escape his house.
And that's when I realized that the dates have got to last 40 minutes max. Like, you go out, you can go somewhere for 40 minutes, and they're just like, well, it's 2 p.m., so where can I take you that means a lot to me? And obviously, he has this place, but he can't watch a movie with you.
No, I think it's more to, like, teach me, show me a piece of himself. That's sort of, like, you have that one opportunity.
And he also has a quote that says, I just wanted to get you on the back of my bike.
Ooh.
It's like, I've never met a girl that I wanted to put on the back of my bike, so I just wanted to put you on the back of my bike. He just kept saying, like, back of his bike, and it was almost like, is this, like, an innuendo for, like, letting someone into your heart or something? It really felt like that. Yeah, pretty great. My general notes here are he's just the cutest dude ever. I love him. I just think he's just such a sweetheart, and he's so kind, and he's so nervous, and like, mm-hmm. you could tell he was such a little nerd when he was a kid, and now he's like this big strapping man. I think a lot of people can relate to that, whether they were that person, like I was kind of that person.
But you're not a big strapping man.
No, I'm not a big strapping man at all. No. But I don't know. It's just very cute. Mm-hmm. And then once you meet his family, it's just like, it all comes together. It's super adorable. That's when his like comedy side comes out.
Yeah.
Because his family are incredibly deadpan and their comedy, like they don't mean to be funny. And they have this really amazing line in which his mom is like, well, are you hungry? Do you want to... I think we're going to make up a little bit of Indian food, and I thought it would be, and she tries to explain why they're eating Indian food, and he just goes, you could just say, we're Indian, we're eating Indian food. So, so, like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm really jealous of you. Home-cooked Indian food sounds so,
so good. It was so good. Oh, that was my first time ever having that experience, too.
Oh, also, before you guys get back to the family date, he's talking his little side interviews, and he's like, I'm going to tell her that I love her, and that he doesn't, and then I can't remember exactly, but it's almost like he drives a little bit away with you, and then he pulls over again, and then he tells you that he loves you. Like, he was so nervous. It really felt like, for me, the first time I told a girl that I was dating in, like, high school how I felt about her. Like, it was just that hesitation and that, oh, do I? And it's just cute. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, it's really cute to watch. Like, Deanna and I were both like, oh, like, kind of whimpering, and it was just adorable. Yeah. So, yeah.
And his family was the best.
Oh, yes, so easy, absolutely. Yeah, he shows up dressed like a youth pastor, and that's my first thing. Mikkel, if you're listening, that outfit is on fleek, but tan pants and I think a blue shirt is very youth pastorish. just a future.
Keep in mind, 2016.
He looks like a Bible salesman.
2016.
Oh, so 2009 in America. Okay, yes. Now it makes sense. I keep forgetting there's that discrepancy. But he shows up. Of course, he looks great, but it's just, he looks like he's selling Bibles. So his dad gives his first interview impression of you, and he says that he likes blondes and then laughs.
He was so cute.
Some of the guys' dads were like, not inappropriate, but slightly inappropriate. With comments, like, you could tell they're just unfiltered, and they said it, and then like 10 minutes later they were like, kill me now, why did I say that? It's super funny. We'll get into it later on. Anyways, so you guys all meet, you're having a cute little first impression meet with the fam, and Mikkel gives the interview, and he goes, well, my dad likes to kind of grill me with questions, but he is a serial interrupter. And he will ask a question, and then as you're responding appropriately to that question, we'll go, no, and then like correct you, and then ask another question, which my dad does, and I probably do too, something I'm working on. But it's just so funny because he gives that interview, and then immediately later, how they edit it, he interrupts. It was really great. His dad asks him the question, how do you know? And he was like, You just know. He goes, how did you know with mom? And he was like, no. Like, negating what his son is saying. And then he goes, Mikkel again goes, no, how did you know? And he goes, I just knew. And it was like, okay. We came to the conclusion that this is correct. It was so funny watching
their
him just
their dynamic
like,
was so funny. The whole family was like, I also was really scared to meet his sister, just because, you know, like, sisters, I don't know, it's intimidating. I think they're probably going to be protective of their little brother, and then they're also, women are kind of, can be a little judgmental of other women, so I was nervous about that. I was nervous about that, and she was the sweetest person. I just felt so comfortable hanging out with them, and I felt so welcomed by his whole family.
I'd have to say my favorite character in their family is the brother-in-law that's holding a baby the entire time. Yeah. If you haven't watched the episode, people that are listening, please just, you can even just look up like Mikkel family meet Bachelorette season one, like blah, blah, blah. Just look it up on YouTube. I'm sure there's a clip of it. But the brother-in-law is, doesn't say a word the entire time. And it's just, as he's sitting in between Mikkel and his father while they're having the conversation, and he's just rocking the baby and just going, because it's like kind of an intense, hardcore conversation, and he's just nodding and just agreeing with both of them. He's like the mediator between them. It was just, I was just like, I just kept looking at him. I was like, he was almost distracting because he's just so allowing it to pass over him. It was fantastic. I said the brother-in-law during the conversation with his dad is just stuck. He was like in the middle of it. My other question is, how long is there between hometown dates? Is there like a few days? You just fly to the next location, get a hotel? And
yeah, that's a really good question. I feel like it was one per day. The Winnipeg one might have been a couple days between, because Newmarket and Waterloo are actually not that far apart. I don't think that it was the same order that it was aired, though. Obviously, yeah, they aired Kevin's hometown date last because it was the most dramatic.
What? Oh, yeah, it kind of was. And then the last question is, how terrifying is it going into hometown dates? Because, I mean, it's kind of, depending on how long you've dated someone, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of crazy. Like, you've been away. The thing that's wild about it is you've both been away
from everyone.
For like months. I know. And then you just come back and they're like, oh, this is a new relationship.
I know, it's like, so...
If you're going to go backpacking in Europe and then you come back with some like Austrian girl and you're like, oh, here she is. It's kind of the same thing. So how... Is that scary?
I mean, I was definitely aware of the fact that we had been gone for so long and that they were just going to... Like, that it was going to be super weird for the family. I knew that. And maybe that's why later on I was so forgiving with Kevin's mom, or just like, I took it pretty easy in that situation because I was like, I get it. But anyway, I mean, we'll get into that. But yeah, it was pretty weird. But to be honest, again, at the time, I was a hairstylist. I was so used to meeting new people. I was so used to talking to multiple different types of people. Like, that was kind of my strong suit. So I wasn't concerned about having those interactions. It was mostly, my concern was like, I just want to make them feel comfortable because I felt like they were probably going to be weirded out. And I wanted them to know that I understood.
They're almost on the spot more than you
are. Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah. I knew I'd be okay. It was more just knowing that that would be weird for them. But okay. Yeah, Mikkel's family was awesome. And like, I didn't even feel like they thought it was weird, which was great.
They were the most normal, for sure. That was very easy going. Other than the dad's comment, which I think is obviously just harmless. It just seemed like a good little family meet. His relationship with his mom is incredibly cute. Mikkel's mom might be the sweetest person in the universe. She's like doing exactly, in my opinion, exactly what a mom should do. Mm-hmm. She's not controlling like someone else's mom, but she is.
Wait, whose mom are you referring to?
Kevin's mom.
Are you referring to like your mom or something?
No, my mom is. I think some moms can sincere that way. She is complete right turn, U-turn on his ass. She is a helicopter parent. But anyway, so. Mikkel's mom is so sweet, and she's that perfect balance of being protective and asking the right questions and also saying that she supports whatever decision they make.
Yeah, that's so true. She was very supportive, and when he said to her that he told me that he loved me, she reacted without shock. It was just like, oh,
yeah,
that's good, or whatever. I can't remember what she said, but it was super cute.
We'll move on to the Mike date. I'm just gonna go through some of my notes here, just read them off as I wrote them. Mike is such a sweet guy. I just don't see the same connection with him as you do with Mikkel or Kevin.
Yeah,
just that's valid. There's just it's like, and I mentioned this to Deanna as well, and I'll bring it up again, is that there's that when you fall in love with someone, you just know. And it works the other way as well, in which if it doesn't work, you just know. There doesn't even have to be a reason, because I don't think there's a specific reason as to why I know that it's not going to work with you and Mike, but it just doesn't seem right. It just doesn't look like a fit. I don't know. And I just get that feeling. But again, I hope Mike has four kids and a wife and is just like ripping and tearing, and he's the captain and commander of the fire force.
Or you hope that you might see him on Bachelor in Paradise Canada, so we can talk about him some more. Who knows?
Is he on Bachelor in Paradise Canada?
I don't know.
That poor guy. He just wanted to get married so hard.
Did he really, though? I felt like he was the one who seemed like he had commitment issues and was very hesitant. I don't feel at all that he seemed like he wanted to get married really bad.
Maybe you know that because you live the show, but how it's edited, like, you ask him a really good question and you ask him what he wants, like, what do you like about me, essentially. Mm-hmm. You're like, why is this all working for you, essentially along those lines, and then asking kind of what he wants. And he doesn't really talk about a marriage between you two and a relationship growing. He just gets right into the family. He's like, I want a family.
Right.
I want this. I want that. I want stability. I want my kids to know I'm there. I want my kids to be protected by mom when if I were to get hurt or killed or whatever happens. And I understand his thinking because of what he does for a living. But it is interesting to say, you know, what do you want? What are you looking for? Why do you like me, etc.? And someone to respond with, here's kind of what you can give me. Like, it doesn't seem like he wants to build a marriage. And in my opinion, you don't get married to have kids.
Yeah.
You get married to build a relationship that brings the cornerstone to something greater and to build a family off of.
Yeah.
It's not just like marriage, kids, house, like.
Yeah. And I also, like, to your point about not wanting to just have a marriage for the sake of having a family, the marriage is a byproduct of an incredible relationship. And what I was not getting from Mike, and I guess why I was kind of probing him a little bit to understand more what was going on with him and what he was feeling was working in the relationship, was for me to understand, because I didn't really see what was working in the relationship. I thought he was a really amazing guy. Like, you can't deny that. He's super compassionate, friendly person. He's funny. But that spark wasn't there. That passion wasn't necessarily there, I don't think, for either of us. I'm not saying just on my part. And I was trying to find answers in that regard for sure. This was like the point where I was like, all right, I gotta figure this out. And also, side note, that beautiful park they were sitting in Winnipeg.
Oh, yes.
I had never been to before. I grew up 2 hours outside of Winnipeg, never been to this park. It was so beautiful. We were sitting under a cherry blossom tree. And, you know, that was the scene of the softer moment.
Oh, that's where the softer moment happened.
Yeah, that was the scene.
Oh, so this is where see, now I see the scene differently because I know what's going on inside of you. And I don't like the scene anymore.
I don't remember if it was before or after, but it was definitely there. You
had a rumble in your tummy, and you said, Mike, 1 second. No. And you went to a public washroom, and you let loose. But yeah, when you ask him how he feels about you, that just like rocked me to my core. Dan and I both looked at each other, and I mentioned to Dan, I was like, if you asked me that or someone else asked me that, I would be able to answer immediately how I feel about you.
Yeah.
To Deanna. There would be no hesitation.
Yeah.
So I think if you don't get that, you know, if you have to think about it and like formulate your response.
Yeah.
You know,
and to be fair, like, I think if Mike had asked me the same question, I probably would have had that same sort of, I have to think about this. You know, it's definitely not all on him. And I think both of us kind of were on the same page in a way. But I was really curious to see if it was just a little more slow moving than the rest. And, you know, that's understandable, too. So I was still curious to see what the possibilities were with us. But just I think we both at that point were not quite where we needed to be.
Yeah, 100%.
So after the park date, we go and meet Mike's dad.
His brother was there.
And his friend.
His dad's girlfriend and his best
friend. Yes, yes, yes. And it's so funny because I actually ended up having mutual friends with his best friend. His best friend has a cabin on Lake of the Woods in Kenora, so the town that I grew up. And so Mike would actually spend his, like he had said when we first met that he spent his summers there. It's because he would go to that friend's cabin. And so it was super funny because we have, I think his wife has mutual friends with people that I know. So I didn't know him personally, but we knew that the same people, which is so weird. Like, imagine going on this freaking show, like,
small world.
How the hell is that a thing? But It's Canada for you. But anyway, that was pretty cool. And then, I mean, I loved his dad. Oh my gosh. I just thought his dad was the nicest person. I loved his dad. I don't know if you got it from the episode, but he was.
Oh, you get it.
Okay. He was just.
His dad is great.
Oh, he was just the sweetest person in the whole world. And he said this thing to me that I still think about to this day. I'm gonna butcher his exact quote, and I don't believe that it was filmed, but he had said this to me and I will never forget it. He had said, when you're in a relationship with somebody and you have those rough moments, like let's say someone comes up and you're having a fight, you need to fight with them the same way that you would with your friend. So forgive them in the same way you would with your friend. So imagine, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. Imagine that your partner forgot to pick something up at the store or something that would, like, kind of annoy you. If it was your friend, mm-hmm. would you react the same way? Does that make sense? Like, you probably would be like, oh, no, it's no big deal, right? Your reaction to
I'd be like, oh, I'll just go snag it.
Yeah, exactly. Your reaction to your friend would be very forgiving. But sometimes when we're in a relationship, we react differently. We treat them differently than we would a friend. And he had said in this really succinct kind of way that I'm not going to be able to remember, that in a relationship, you need to treat your partner the same way that you treat your friend, especially in those tougher moments or moments that are kind of annoying to you. And I was like, oh my God, that's so true. Why would we treat our partners any differently? Why are we so forgiving with our friends and people that we're not as close to? And then as soon as it's your significant other, you feel like you have license to be a little less forgiving or a little less understanding. And
it's like they didn't air that, which would have been great, because that's a really good point. And it makes sense now, because when you're talking with him and he's kind of talking about both of you as a couple, he doesn't really mention boyfriend and girlfriend. He says, you guys seem like really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that's all starting to come together, because he equates a really strong relationship with being very good friends with someone.
Yeah,
I think that a couple, like when you're saying if someone were to forget something from the store, a couple that puts that level of weight on their relationship and doesn't see it as a friendship, almost with benefits in like a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a friendship to the next level.
Yeah.
They would react with like, oh, okay, I guess I got to go to the store.
But it's so weird how, because I thought about it when he said that and I was like, wow, like that just hit me so much, because I definitely feel like I could be that way. Like with my family, basically like my mom, my sister, and my partner, I feel like I can be so different than I am with everybody else. And it's obviously because you trust them and they're close to you and you know that you can be annoyed and you can be a bit of a bitch sometimes, and you know that they're going to still be there. But that's just no way to be. And I've never forgot that. I definitely don't think I'm perfect at it, but I'm working on it. And I don't know. I realize that that's definitely something that I feel like everybody does. Mike's dad really pulling through with the life advice. I'll never forget. I'll take that with me through the rest of my days.
Yeah. He is an incredibly sweet person. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny because Mike was like, you know, if you think I'm conservative and safe and this, my dad is that times 10. Right. And so I'm going, oh boy, we're about to see like a hard ass, like a drill sergeant.
I thought so too. That's, I was so scared to meet his dad. I was like, oh God.
And his dad is like, it's like the dad that you go away to college for 3 years and you don't go home and you kind of lose touch a little bit. And then you go back home and they have like a couple new friends and they like smoke pot now. And they're like, hey, what's up, buddy? And they're like, what is going on? Like they treat you like an adult now instead of a child.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. It was a great experience meeting him. I had a really nice time with his family.
Yeah. So there, let's get into some of the weird things that I noticed. So his best friend, who has some of the best hair I've ever seen in my life, just
by the way, in case you didn't know, Mike is in like a heavy metal band and that his friend is also in it. Yeah, you might not suspect.
What?
Yeah, like his favorite, like Metallica is his favorite band and they play like Metallica style music. Mike is like full on heavy metal and his friend that makes a lot of sense now, right? After you're seeing the hair. Yeah.
The friend makes sense. Mike makes zero sense.
He's a lead singer.
The thing that's wild about heavy metal is you can either really tell someone listens or even plays it, or you cannot tell at all. And they seem like Mike, if I were to look at him, I'd go,
country music.
Joan Rivers, Little River Band, country music, Garth
100%.
Brooks. That's wild. Interesting. Didn't know that. Fun little tidbit about Mike there. But you have a quote at the end, which is so indicative of the downfall of their relationship, is that you say, "My life wouldn't have to change much to be in his life." And I was just like, again, it brings me back to that whole like,
safety.
He just wants you to stick, safety net. And I just don't, at least, I mean, I know you now, but back then I'm like, man, I don't think that would be what you would want. Just knowing who you are, I obviously didn't know you back then, but that's tricky.
It's again, it's like, it's not what I wanted. I was certainly, I mean, I wasn't even living at home at that time. So I don't know why I even said that, because my life would have to change. I'd have to move back home. But I think it's just going back to that feeling of like, I always, every day, I'm sad that I'm away from my family and my friends, you know, being away from Kenora is like a choice that I'm making every day. And a lot of times I'm like, God, life is so short. Like, spending this much time away from my mom makes me kind of sad, you know? But it's, I mean, it's hard to know what you're supposed to do. And so having something like that tell me, okay, well, here, let me make this choice for you. You're with someone who lives near there, so this makes more sense for you to move back home. It's almost like it would give me that answer without me having to make the decision in a sort of way, weird sort of way. So, there was some comfort in that possibility, but ultimately, I don't think being back in Kenora is really what I want. The only reason I would be back there is just to be closer to my family. So,
that makes sense. Absolutely. So, Mike's easy off, and then we're on to the Kevin date. You guys meet up, and again, there's just something weird about Kevin, in which he always has to do something odd that I just would never see someone do.
What did he do?
And it's like, you guys meet up on a sidewalk on the side of like a highway, like the road that's right next to a highway. You're right there,
and he picked me up and my whole butt came out of my shorts. I do remember that. I remember being spun around and being like, my bum is out.
What shorts are you
wearing? I was wearing yellow.
What do you mean? Your ass fell out of your shorts?
Like, they were high-waisted yellow shorts, and he lifted me up and spun me around, and I remember being like,
parachute pant shorts?
They were, like, what? I don't know. They were high-waisted yellow shorts, and when he picked me up and spun me around, I remember just being like, cool, ass out. Whole bottom ass out.
I wouldn't notice that.
Well, they cut it, obviously. They had to, but I was like, yo, okay, let me down, my bum.
But when he sees you, you guys both just start jogging to each other on the sidewalk. And well, I'm like,
cool. Like, listen, do you know how far away they always set you up? Whenever you meet, the cameras are rolling and you're so far away, and it's like the most awkward long walk to each other in the world. And often they would instruct you to like run to each other just because it probably makes it more exciting. Jesus. I don't know. And you'll notice that in the Bachelor American version, every time that they meet up with each other, usually the woman will run up to the guy and wrap her leg, like jump like a koala on them, and then that's how they greet each other every time. I can't wait for you to see it, because you're gonna think it's so fucking weird. I think it's so weird. I think I made a point of not doing that. Kevin lifted me up, but I did not want him to. I hated being lifted up. But they jump on each other every time. It's like a requirement. Like, they sign a contract and they're like, every time you guys meet up, you must leap onto their body fully, legs wrapped around and everything. Anyway, you'll see. So maybe Kevin was trying to Kevin was, I think, was a big fan of the show prior to this happening, so being on this show. So maybe he was just trying to make those big koala bear jumps happen. I was resisting, though. My legs were straight. Boy.
I've noticed that you are the most giddy around him.
I know.
You're like, like, it's like you're immediately back in high school.
Yeah, I was totally infatuated with Kevin. Like, I was so excited to see him every time. I didn't know that he was the right one for me, but he was certainly the one that I was most obsessed with.
And we'll get into this later. And if at any point I cross the line, because we are talking about a relationship that you have, I'm not going to like rip into anyone, but I did notice that your sister and your mom, who obviously would know you the best, say...
Well, are we going to get into this now, or do you want to save that? Let's keep it streamlined.
Fine.
So anyways, let me just bridge us into the next segment. So, after my butt falls out of my shorts, we jump into a white Jeep, which honestly I found very weird. And like, no offense, Kevin, you know, I don't have anything against you, but I felt like it was strange because that wasn't his car. He just was like, I think white Jeeps are cool. I'm going to borrow my friend's white Jeep. Or, like, they rented a white Jeep. Like, he just specifically, for some reason, wanted that vehicle. He's got a nice car. Like, or at least he had at the time, this other, like, white Ford, some, like, SUV or whatever. So, I don't know why. But I just found that odd because it felt like doing it for TV. Do you know what I mean? Either way, I just felt like it was weird. I don't know. Like, I don't care. I just felt like it felt a little staged, that part. And that just was a weird thing for me, I guess.
Anyway, you guys walk out onto a football field and you say, oh, I had no idea you played football. And it's just like, that never came up ever. He never mentioned that he played football all through high school. He also is built like a football player. No one has that muscle mass.
He never brought it up, and he never brought it up after. Like, I don't think we ever spoke after the... Like, he doesn't play football now. Like, it never, ever came up after, even in our relationship.
Well, maybe it's an American thing, but if you have played football in America, it's one of the first five things you say to someone that you've met, whether it be 20, 30, 40 years later. You're like, oh, well, yeah, I played football out there down at C8 High School in 1989. I almost got the Heisman. I was heading out to college, almost got the Heisman. They're just talking about football all the time. That's like the thing to do.
No, I guess
so. It was
not
interesting. I just said, you don't know this guy plays football?
I knew he played hockey.
Then that makes sense.
That made sense. And like, he still continued.
He's Canadian.
Well, I know, but I'm just
Aren't
saying,
you
like,
supposed to?
That came up more. I mean, I knew that was something that he liked doing. But football.
Gotcha. Okay. And then you guys go sit out on a turf field and drink champagne. Again, this looks smoldering hot.
I don't remember.
This looks like you should have walked away with third degree burns on your ass and hands. It looks, I've done that. I played soccer every single summer. See, I'm an American guy talking about the sport I used to play. I've sat on turf fields in the heat of summer. It is miserable. And I was just like, I can't tell, obviously, what time of year it is. It could just be sunny and be fall. I don't know. But it just looked rough. I mean, Mike brought you to a shaded area. That's, you know, where you have a date, where you can actually have a conversation, not Clint Eastwood at each other the entire time.
Yeah.
I'm going to size you up. Like, it just was so weird. I could see both of you guys just going like this the whole time.
Well, you take a picture of your face right now. I can't tell if you guys are... Stay. That is the worst face I've ever seen. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, of course. Ow, that like hurts my face to do that. I give myself a headache.
Every muscle in your whole face.
I know, they're all working at once. But yeah, so he starts opening up, and it's great because every time, and you say this as well, every time he actually opens up emotionally, I like him a bit more.
Oh, of course, I know. Kevin was extremely, and I know that he would admit to this and has. He was very, very, very hesitant. I think he was afraid of what people would think, because anytime he got emotional or if he were to like cry, he would be very afraid of just getting kind of like ripped on by people, his friends or whatever, seeing him cry on TV. Like, he was just very afraid of how people would perceive him. And I think he was a little nervous about opening up. And as a guy, I mean, I can't relate to that, because women, it's like more acceptable to be more open emotionally. And I think Kevin was really closed off. And throughout the whole season, I think that was a thing that he worried about, until, and you'll know when you see the finale episode, he really just can't keep it back anymore. And he was so nervous about that airing. And the response that he got was a lot of positivity and support. You know, people loved seeing the side of him that was real and vulnerable. And I think that positive response to him actually opening up was something that he was not expecting. And I think that that was really good for him. And there's a lot that like people don't know about him and the stuff he had to deal with, and just the reason that he did seem so closed off. It's not really who he was. Kevin had been through so much as a first responder. Like, as a firefighter, it's mostly not just house fires. Like, I think it was in the very beginning, he had to try to resuscitate a baby that had died in front of the father. While his father's there panicking and freaking out, he's having to try and resuscitate this limp baby, not even a year old. And it was awful. And the stuff that he has to see, probably every day he deals with someone who's died. And so he would just keep everything bottled up. And he just got really good at it. And it's really sad.
It's kind of a...
It's
almost like a part of the job. Like, you have to.
You kind of do have to.
To a point. Because if you constantly are emoting, it'll affect
you. No, that's true. I mean, that's true. I think that you have to compartmentalize a bit. But I also think you need to deal with it afterwards. You can't just, like, never actually... deal with it. Sure, put it aside for now so you can do your job, but then you can't just like forget that it ever happened or because you won't. So that was a big thing for him.
Oh, yeah. No, I know a lot of first responders and they are very much that way. Like, I go out and get a beer with them and someone who's a bit more insensitive will be like, oh, what's the craziest thing that's happened at work for you? And they're just like,
dude,
I'm not going to tell you that story.
Yeah, like every day, everything. Like,
but moving past this, he sits down. You guys have this very adorable moment. He opens up and he talks about his war medal and or his service medal and explains that it was like his proudest moment. And he gives the medal to you, which was just like, damn. Mm-hmm. Like, this is his primary source of comfort and stability, and he's giving it to you. And he explains that he hasn't had to use it or kind of pick it up and feel it for support since he's met you. And I'm like, damn. Like, whether he means this at all, and I do think he means it, it is the perfect thing to say. He's emoting, he's like telling you exactly from his heart how he feels. Like, it's just like, you know, the thing that's so interesting is the downfall of relationships for men is because they don't emote enough. And it was almost his. Like, he couldn't cross that barrier. And I don't know. Guys are like, oh, girls are so tricky. I'm like, just tell them how you feel. It's real. I know it doesn't seem hard and it can be harder for some, but just learn how to do it. Figure out how to work through your shit and tell them how you feel and be able to put yourself out there. Because that is, girls find that hot and they find that.
Well, that's how you build a connection. It's not even hot. Yeah. It's like
hot. They like that.
No.
Of course, who wouldn't?
Yeah, like you need to be able to build a real connection with someone, and understanding how they feel is just the beginning of that. That's how you know them deeply, you know? You need to get to know someone in a deeper way.
So you guys have this amazing date. He gives you the medal, and it's now time to meet his family. So you guys head on over there. And this is where it takes a turn a bit. His mom, without hesitation, is incredibly condescending and incredibly rude, and it's completely uncalled for. There is a reason to be hesitant through an entire process like this. But she puts all the weight on you and none of it on him. And that's so indicative of their relationship not being healthy, in my opinion. She blames you for everything. Like, she's like, oh, how could you do this to my son? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, he decided to do this. It's not like you stole him away and forced him into this. Yeah, like, he's as much a part of this as you are. So why are you not grilling both of them? And I was just going, oh, it's because it's mama's little boy. She is so protective. Like, he is the golden child, and he is her project. She's like, I cry with him, I do this, and I'm like, oh, you're his girlfriend. You really are. Like, I don't mean that in like a gross way, obviously, but you are all of the things that a girlfriend would be potentially. And I feel like, you know, as his life got more stressful, as he kept adding things on, you know, going into the military, that's stressful. And being in football, that's stressful. There's head injuries with that. Like, he keeps adding these things to his life just because of who he is, in which he needs support. And his mom saw that and went, that's what I'm going to do.
I can't say, and we can't say, how that would feel as a mom. Like, imagine your kid doing all of these things that are so dangerous, and like what he does for a living is so dangerous. And I can't imagine how it would feel as a mom to know that your child is having to see and deal with so many traumatic situations. So it's hard to put yourself in that situation and say that you wouldn't become ultra protective, or you wouldn't become so heavily concerned about their well-being that you would just want to make sure you're there all the time. Like, sure, it can leech into like unhealthy, I'm putting that in air quotes, territory, your dynamic between yourself and your kid. But like, how can you say how you would respond? I can imagine that would be a lot on her too, you know? She's probably constantly worried. But yeah, I feel like I can't even make a comment because I'm not a mom, you know?
Yeah, of course. And I cannot see it from her perspective because, and again, it's like, she is being rude and she's being condescending, and that's uncalled for.
Yeah.
And she says this quote, I wrote it down, I'm surprised a beautiful young girl like yourself took this route to find love. And I was just like, that is the most condescending, shitty thing to say to someone that you've just met. Like, if you're so worried about your son's well-being and you're meeting someone that he cares about and that's how you treat them, you don't care about your son's well-being. You care about your relationship with your son. That is more important. Preach. I'm sorry. I'm putting the Bible down. That is the truth. Mm. I don't think she obviously doesn't care about his well-being at all, but I think it's become about something else. She has some seriously disturbing quotes. She, like, you know, that I'm surprised a beautiful young girl like yourself took this route to find love. And it's like, so did your son?
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't seem to see that you guys are both in this 50-50.
Yeah. I never really thought about it that way for some reason.
You as a captor and him as the captive. Yeah. Like, you're a prey. And she's, like, attacking you immediately, being defensive. And you're like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's you. You're not an aggressive person. So
I also was obsessed with her son. So I was, you know, very forgiving. Like, think about it. Like, you'd be like, oh, it's okay. Like, I was really not. I remember even after the whole date was over, everyone always had been commenting on how well I handled it. And I was like, honestly, I don't know if I was handling it that well. I just was like really, really liked her son. And I was being very understanding of how she was feeling because I expected the families to be hesitant. And the fact that Mikkel's family and Mike's family was so open armed, willing to accept me was actually a bit more surprising. So yeah. And when we left, I remember the producers and, you know, everybody being like, whoa, that was intense. And I was like, oh, I think everyone else saw that as more intense than I was experiencing it. And like, then clearly once it aired, I really realized that people experienced it more intensely than I did. But I think I was just like in, you know, rose colored glasses on, just like blinders on because 100%. I was so into Kevin. Yeah.
You were the amount of times that she's just like, just ripping into you and you're just going, like, she also calls you a chatterbox. I'm like, girl, you're talking more than anyone here. Like, you are slamming into everyone's ears. Jasmine's just trying to respond to your questions. And you're like, well, you're a bit of a chatterbox, but can you listen? It's like, can you? It doesn't seem like you can.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I was like, wait, what? I guess I am. But we're also on a TV show where I'm the lead here. So I assume I'm supposed to talk.
So much. Oh my gosh, dude. It's a wild ride. You handled it very well. I felt incredibly bad for you. I almost was seeing, like, you just going, like, just, you know, love in your eyes and you're smiling and she's just berating you. And I just wanted it to zoom into your head and just a nuclear bomb is exploding and it's just metal in your head. Like, you're just trying to wash this all out.
Yeah.
I don't know how you handled it. It was fantastic of you. That shows how strong you are. She also says that, you know, she's like, well, you know, my son has a very stressful job. It's very important. And, you know, I want him to be able to come home at the end of the day and be able to talk to you and de-stress about these things. And I don't want you to, you know, think that your job as a hairstylist is more important than his. She essentially says something along those lines.
She says something like, if someone's pissed off about their hair.
Their hair.
She says it in a way that's like so dying. Like, oh, that, like, almost like my job doesn't matter or the stresses at my job don't matter, that I have to put aside what I'm going through that day to listen to her son. And like, obviously, I understood what she meant in a sense. So I remember like grabbing her hand and being like, oh, obviously, yeah. Like, I clearly understand that there's differences between the stresses at my job and the stresses at his job. But it doesn't mean that I don't go through a lot at my work. Like, but anyway, I understood. So I tried to just comfort her in that moment. But yeah, I was like, you should put aside anything that you're going through in the day to be there for my son. You know,
she also didn't ask you about yourself.
No,
at
that's
all.
True.
She's like, what's your occupation? Boom, I'm going to tear into you. She didn't go, do you have past trauma? Have you worked through things?
Yeah.
Like, if she had asked those things, then your support for her son would make more sense. But it's like, she didn't. She seemed like no matter who showed up at the door, she would just attack them.
Mm-hmm.
And she also said, Kevin and his mom sit down and he goes, well, it looks like my brother and, you know, dad really like Jasmine. And they go, of course they do. She's a pretty young blonde thing. And it was just like, oh my God. Like, wow, you are so sour.
Well, that felt almost like a bit of jealousy, which was what made the whole dynamic a little I think, strange for people to see. I didn't get that sense at all when I was there. And, you know, obviously the edit is the edit, and I didn't see everything that was said.
Sure.
But yeah, that was...
I have a note here that says, too much, hopefully we get to it. We're going to move on. Because I can't. I have so many jokes. I have so many rips, but they're people. I don't want to do it.
I appreciate that.
So, of course.
I was very nervous for this episode because I'm like, oh, God. Because I also should mention that, like, once we got together, once Kevin and I were together, she was never like that with me. Like, she was really friendly, really sweet.
That's great.
She would text me all the time. She was like, it was a complete 180. And I always would get asked about, what was Kevin's mom like? That was just a thing that stuck with them. And truly, she was never, it was never like that again.
Well, that's awesome. Hmm. I'm glad you're able to turn around and have some sort of relationship with her.
Yeah, there's no real issue up to that. Except for my mom, on the other hand, when, oh, God, we'll get into that at the...
cannot wait.
Yeah, at the final rose, my mom had to watch that episode right before we went out on stage. And who was sitting behind her? Kevin's mom. And my mom did not understand editing. My mom doesn't understand. She was pissed. Think about parent, you know, your oh my God, my mom. Like, if other people had that reaction of protectiveness of me after watching that episode, you can imagine how my actual mom felt and then had to go and sit on a set in right in front of her.
And your mom is like, I love your mom. I feel like I would get along famously with your mom. Your mom just seems awesome. But she is, and in no way close to Kevin's mom, she's like a very appropriate mama bear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's just like, that's my kid. Don't fuck around with my kid. Yeah, like, she's protective, but she also gives you your space to allow you to do your thing.
Yeah.
She's very appropriate with all.
Yeah.
And just in my experience with parents.
We can also juicy. When we break, because Cole and I will break down sometime in the next couple weeks, the after the final rose, because I know that's a big one that people want to talk about, or want us to talk about, or me to talk about. And yeah, I can get into a little bit about my mom's experience there that was not aired, thankfully. But yeah, and a big reason why my mom had this reaction of being so upset is because, like I said, everyone, including the audience and my mom, had to watch this episode about the hometown dates and then also the finale episode right before we all went on stage to do After the Final Rose. So everyone was...
Why would they do that?
Well, because nothing had aired yet. We recorded the Final Rose before anything had aired, so they basically had everyone watch... Like, even me, I hadn't seen anything. I was given the episodes to watch in my hotel room, bawled my eyes out all night long. Like, it was the... God, well, there's too much to get into there. Well, honestly, need a separate episode for it. But anyways, 100%. My mom, I didn't get a chance to talk to her before we all went out on stage. So I didn't get to say to her, hey, mom, Kevin's mom isn't a bitch to me anymore. Like, hey, mom, try to take this with a grain of salt. You know, it's TV. Of course, it's going to be a little bit, you know, dramatized. And I didn't get to have that conversation with her. So she just watched it like how everyone else did and was enraged about how I was treated as my mom, of course. And so that, oh, man. Yeah.
I'm very excited to get into that. That sounds great.
We'll get into it. Yeah, there's a lot that definitely didn't make the cut.
So anyway, they're doing this the music before the rose ceremony. This is new music, and it's 11 p.m. at this time, and I'm tired, and I am being lulled to bed. This is the sleepiest bedtime. It's like a lullaby is what they're
really
playing.
We were in Vancouver. We all flew back to Vancouver at this point, so that's where we were, by the way, and it was nighttime. I remember that.
It was like an acoustic version of the Twinkle ringtone on iPhone.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I was getting all cozy. Like, as soon as it started, I was like, sleeping a little bit. It was just putting me to bed. But that's just a little side point. The main attraction that happens is Mike, who didn't tell you he loved you. Both guys told you they loved you during the homestyle dates. I don't know. I'm just going to say whatever. You know me. If I can't think of the word, I just think
now.
Of something that's similar. Homestyle dates. Homestyle fries. So he shows up to the hotel, and I know he meant well, but it was just like, this is a last-ditch effort because you know the other guys told her. And he tells you, and you guys have this little cute moment, and Mike's great. You know, nothing against Mike, but it was just like, it's just, It's not enough, buddy. I just knew it.
I feel like the producers probably convinced him to have that conversation with me about, I don't know if he said he loved me or he was falling in love with me, but I mean, I have to assume that it was a little coerced because, again, like you said, he would have known probably that he was going to go home. And whether he felt that way or not, I honestly don't think he really did. It was, I think, a little bit encouraged. I will say a little BTS moment. I remember that I wasn't aware that he was coming to my hotel room. Obviously, I was in there getting ready for the rose ceremony, sitting in there, and I was with Jess, my makeup artist, and we were just hanging out as we always did. And then she left the room. I think she must have known that he was coming, so she left. And so I was laying in there, and I remember being so bloated. Okay, I had my period at this time. TMI. Oof, sorry about rough. It. My no, belly, my abdomen was so bloated. I seriously looked pregnant, and I remember. I remember laying on this like little couch in there. When he came in, I was kind of like horizontal.
You were slumped back.
Okay, because I thought Jess was coming back in and I was balancing a water bottle on my belly and I was about to and I was about to be like, look at this.
I remember because the camera is behind him and he's walking in and you say, oh, come in. And he like opens the door and you're slouched back. And you just go, oh, hey.
No, I was just not expecting him. Really wanted to show off my balancing skills.
Great. So that all happens, of course. Mike, you know, professes that he's falling in love with you. The rose ceremony commences. We don't need to get into the nitty gritty, but Mikkel and Kevin are selected. Mike is sent home. Oh.
Sorry. I shouldn't have cut you off there.
Yeah.
I just had a moment that I remembered something.
Ooh. Oh, boy. What happened?
Okay. This is so crazy. I just remembered this. Another thing about this Vancouver stay, obviously we're in a hotel. The guys were actually in a separate hotel from me. I can't remember which hotel I was in. They were in a separate hotel. We were only there, I think, for one night. Mikkel went off and got a sneaky haircut that he wasn't supposed to get. As you know, all of a sudden his head is totally shaved off.
Didn't like that.
I know, neither did the producers, but he went and did it. I think he was going through a moment.
He was so nervous.
He was having a lot of second thoughts at this point, I think. Anyways, I remember being in my hotel room and getting a call, and it was either Kevin or Mikkel. I think it was Mikkel, and he had called me. He had found where I was staying. Like, he had called around to various hotels looking for me, and he wanted to go and like grab a drink, like sneak out, let's go get a drink and like talk, because he had been going through a lot and had been second guessing things and just wanted to chat. And so he found me in the room, and I didn't. And then I had a beep on the other line. I'm assuming it's Cass Kara or someone from production, so I answered. It's freaking Kevin. He had done the same thing, called around to different hotels and found me. Literally, this happened.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And and I remember actually this night, it was the premiere of JoJo's season of The Bachelorette, because we had filmed ours at the same time and hers just began airing. That was the season premiere of The Bachelorette that I was about to sit down and watch. And I got a call from both guys who had done the same exact detective work and called me at the exact same time. It was crazy. So that's just a funny little BTS thing.
That's wild little tidbit there. But anywho, rose removal ceremony commences.
Yes.
Mikkel is selected.
With Kevin. With a new haircut.
With a new haircut. And it's a bad haircut.
I know.
And I can just tell it was like a last ditch. He was like, oh, I'm going to get a haircut. And I was like, dude, your hair was great before. Did not need to change your hair. And that's such that's a haircut I've gotten before and it never looks good. It's like, it looks good on Brad Pitt. Because he's, you know, dirty and covered in engine grease in the movie Fury. You know, that's why it looks fantastic. It's not something normal guys should have. I'm sure Mikkel is often covered in
engine grease, so maybe it just didn't work for this suit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he gets this rough new haircut and he is selected. And Kevin is then selected and Mike is sent home. You walk Mike out. And again, Mike is just a class act. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just really sweet. And he's like, you know, I hope you find what you're looking for. And you guys have this very adorable moment. Then Mikkel has this little freak out. And he's really worried pretty much about a Fantasy Suites, which I don't know what those are at all.
What?
I've never heard of that before in my life.
Cool, are you joking?
No, I don't know. No, I don't know what that is. Oh, and then Deanna goes, well, it's where they get, you know, no cameras, no recordings, none of that. They just get to share a bedroom together for a single night. And I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
It's like, that's allowed? That seems weird. And then I go, oh, okay, one of my favorite reality TV shows growing up was Flavor Flav.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Flavor of Love.
Uh-huh.
And he would just bring each one of the girls into his bedroom, and you would just hear like, ah, ah, yeah. Like, just, it was just disgusting. But she was like, oh, it's not like that. Like, they pretty much go in there and have like a 10-hour conversation. They can just talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to have cameras on them, and they can get really real and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, that happens. He's really nervous about that. And I think this is just how it's edited, but you kind of go up and you're like, hey, what's going on? And he just walks away. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, he was really upset that night. Like, he was like really... this was kind of like his breaking point, as you can tell by the haircut. But he was just not doing well. I think he was really stressed out about the fantasy suites and knowing that, like, there was this possibility of me being, you know, like, intimate with the other guys. And, like, I totally understand that. That would be awful. Yeah. Could you imagine being in love with somebody and then knowing that they're going to go and, like, spend a night with someone? Like, there's no way I could handle that. So I understood. I don't know how these people keep their composure in those situations, because this happens obviously every season. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know how people do it. I could never do it. But in the end, I think he realized that this was just something he had to do. And so he dealt with it. And we move on now to Cuba.
Episode 9. Cuba.
Yeah. I think maybe we were there for a week or so. Beautiful, beautiful Cuba.
Gosh.
And, you know,
yeah, for sure.
Very difficult, very sad, very awful time for me and probably other people. So can't wait. But you get to meet Laurelee, and that's fun. So let's get that the hell over with.
We'll focus on Laurelee the entire time. Okay, great. It'll be very fun.
All right. Thank you guys for being here once again. This will be a week full of podcasts because we really want to just close this season out so we can move into season 2, which is reviewing Katie's season of The Bachelorette, which I'm very excited for. Starts on June 7th. So make sure you're subscribed so that you guys can tune into that. We'd love to hear your opinions, and we'll see you next time.
Later, guys.